Martin, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213, which is Oakland. Thank you.
Gertrude, it's indeed a pleasure to meet you today. Your name is very well known in this community, and for obvious reasons, you seem to have led a very rich and full life devoted to the community. How did you get into all of this? Was it something you always wanted to do, or were you influenced by early home life?
Good question. The reality is I was always a very busy youngster. My life was full as a child. I had a very feisty, intelligent, keenly enthusiastic, aware set of parents, despite modest financial circumstances. My mother was born and raised in New York City, came from a rich background culturally, ethically, politically, a liberal family with wonderful siblings. My father was a self-made man. He, of course, was an immigrant from Russia, came to this country, and as we think about these things, we admire what that generation did at age 14, having had a complete gymnasia education, and made it here. And their story is a wonderful story. At any rate, I was born when mother was not quite 17. Really? So I had a young, zippy mother. Mm-hmm. Mother was a talented woman in dramatics, played piano beautifully, had done Yiddish theater in New York, transmitted that to me. I spoke Yiddish as early as I spoke English. I had wonderful, wonderful grandmother, my paternal grandmother, who my mother and father brought over to this country with a great many brothers and sisters, and that, again, is a story in itself. But I was enriched by this generation. I learned Yiddish. I entertained in Yiddish. A New York troupe came in and needed a youngster to travel with them. At age 3 or 4, I was singing Yiddish theater all through the area, I'm told. So to this day, my knowledge of Yiddish, my feeling of my Jewish background and identity must have been implanted then. I had a very erudite great uncle who was indeed a Talmudic scholar who lived in the same house that we did in Oakland for the remaining years of his life after he came out of Russia, who had lived through the tragedy of seeing his wife and daughter killed in a pogrom. And Fetter Moshe, as he was called, gave me some of this understanding and feeling and depth. So those seeds maybe were planted for me to develop my tremendous feeling for community and Judaism, Jewish involvement. My own leaning was to theater and dramatics. And I was in, well, Lordy, when we're through here, I'll show you. Somebody dug up a picture of the old Y Playhouse, the JCC. In the days of Al Golden, was called the Golden Days of the Y Playhouse, and I was doing adult roles at age 13. I was used to being busy. Success was something I needed to achieve and strove to achieve early on. I worked all through high school and college, so I was used to trying to do everything. My high school involvement was primarily with the... I'm digressing. Interrupt
well,
me.
Before we get into specifics...
I see.
You've given us a wonderful introduction, and you obviously do have a marvelous family background. We would like to know the names of your mother and your father.
I'd be delighted.
And, well, let's start with your mother.
Ida.
And where she came from.
New York City. She came from New York.
She was born in New York.
She was,
right.
She was the youngest of 8 in Manhattan.
Yes. We need to know.
Ida Shore, S-H-O-R-R, probably, in fact, definitely shortened from Shornick.
Mm-hmm. And your father?
Abraham Forman, F-O-R-M-A-N.
And where did he come from?
He came from a little town outside of Kiev in Russia, mm-hmm. which we visited, incidentally, in 78.
When did they marry?
They married in 1920. I was born in 21.
Do you have siblings?
Yes, I have one younger sister. You want her name?
Yes.
Beverly, nicknamed BB, Elovitz, E-L-O-V-I-T-C.
And is she married?
Married, living in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Has 3 children, 2 boys and a and a daughter, and 3 grandchildren, 2 boys and a daughter.
Now, you were very enriched by your family.
Yes.
And you mentioned an uncle who obviously
played
quite a role in your life.
Yes.
What was his name? Tell us a little more about him.
His name was Jack Shore, my mother's brother.
Mm-hmm.
He was a writer, an educator, a union organizer. He was a ghostwriter for Henry Wallace, Vice President Henry Wallace. He edited a Mayo Clinic magazine for several years. He was a brilliant, liberal, compassionate human being, and I guess he had tremendous impact on me as I think about it.
And your great-grandparents, the ones that you knew?
I didn't know great-grandparents. I knew grandparents.
Grandparents.
Both my grandmothers were strong, I'd say matriarchal figures. My mother's mother lived into her 90s by herself in New York, was known for being an early feminist, an early health food faddist. Read 3 newspapers daily, was very socialistic, worked with her husband, even though she had a family of 8. He was a draftsman, and I'm told she worked with him when she was able to leave the children, and the children, of course, took care of each other.
So did your father have his own business?
My father had his own business.
Was he an engineer?
No. Daddy was in, not retailing, but in, I guess you would call it custom tailoring, manufacturing of men's clothes, but modestly. Wasn't a big business. He struggled. He joined a cousin in business in Pittsburgh. He was among the early organizers of the International, ILG, International Garment Workers Union, ILGWU. He picketed in Pittsburgh on Lower Fifth Avenue when the workers wanted to organize. Interestingly enough, and here I'm digressing, interrupt me if you don't want me to, years later, I was one of the first, quote, live performers on television in Pittsburgh when old Dumont came in 1949 and 50. And the live performers were not unionized, and I was one of the delegates to the Mahogany Conference bargaining table when the Dumont attorneys came to Pittsburgh to convene for the sake of organizing AFTRA, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. So in a sense, history repeats itself, a different union, a different milieu. Amazing. But interesting as I think about it, and I'd never made this analogy before.
And what year did your mother and father settle in Pittsburgh?
Actually, when they were married. Daddy was living and working, had his own business in Pittsburgh, met my mother in New York when she was still in high school. Theirs was a fairy tale romance. She kept her high heels and her bobby pins in his apartment because she was the youngest and had single sisters. And they really wanted him to marry one of her older sisters. You know that story. But they had a very beautiful, I have pictures of them here, I'll show them to you later. You're very dear to ask the questions. They married in 20. And they settled in Pittsburgh and lived in Pittsburgh all of their married lives.
Where did they live?
They lived very briefly in the Hill. I believe it was Center Avenue. I know because they had very dear neighbors and I was the baby of the area.
Mm-hmm.
They moved, before my recollection, I was preschool, to Oakland. Bought a home on Dawson Street in Oakland, and my formative years were all Oakland. I said the pendulum swings full cycle. Here I am again. I was raised on Dawson Street in a lovely large home across from Holmes School, which no longer exists. It's now Holmes Place, a building development. And then I went to Schenley High School and the University of Pittsburgh and taught, worked in playgrounds in the city during my summer vacation times, worked all through school, did all this dramatic work, as I indicated to you. Got my first teaching job at 19. I was out of Pitt and teaching at 19.
in your home life,
yes,
which you said was very rich,
right?
Tell us a little more about, for example, your religious education.
All right. My mother was the superintendent of a Sunday school in Oakland. Mm. And you really might want to know this. In that context, worked with a name that may mean nothing to you, but certainly does to the National Council of Jewish Women, the late Marion Schoenfeld, who was the organizer of the Southwest Pennsylvania Amalgam of Religious Schools. Mother was one of those supervisors. That incorporated Greater Pittsburgh. It incorporated the little schools that weren't the big temples.
Mm-hmm.
And attorneys and doctors were my mother's teachers. And often, her name was Ida. And she was loved by the community. And she incidentally worked in her youth, when she was a young matron, worked very extensively for the National Council of Jewish Women for what was then the Thrift Shop, which is now Council Shop, which was located even then in Oakland, and Mother was a devoted volunteer.
Did you belong to a temple?
We belonged to the Tree of Life, which was then in Oakland.
Were you founding members?
No.
No,
I don't believe we were. I was very active in Tree of Life.
Still associated with it?
No, we then went the Reform route, mm-hmm, and joined Rote of Sholem Temple. However, very frankly, we are in the process of perhaps rejoining a conservative temple.
Did you observe Sabbath in your home?
I must admit that we observed holidays. We observed, certainly while my grandmother, my father's mother, and my great uncle were living with us, my mother tried to maintain a kosher home for their sake. My father was the typical highly educated yeshiva bucher. Do you know what that,
mm-hmm,
phraseology means?
Certainly.
Who went almost to the other end of the yardstick, to agnosticism,
mm-hmm,
as liberal human beings tended to do in the early 20th century, and as he did when he became concerned with the working man. He was so knowledgeable and so trained in Judaism, it was and in Hebrew, you know. He was really very multilingual. To this day, I regret not having learned Hebrew as a child, because there was the opportunity. I could have learned it right in my own home. But I did have the joy of Yiddish. No, we were not really formally observant.
But you certainly had a rich Jewish background.
Culturally tremendous.
Yes.
A tremendous amount of Jewish music,
mm,
Jewish acting, Jewish theater.
Fantastic. How about discipline in the home? Were your parents strict with you? Was it a very free and easy home?
You know, in those days, Mother could convey a message, could and did, with the lift of an eyebrow. Obviously, we were not incorrigibles. It wasn't difficult to raise us. She gave me a tremendous amount of free rein. When I think of the fact that I used to travel from Oakland to town and Oakland to Squirrel from the time I was 8 years old on public transportation, I went to town for piano, a dance and elocution lessons. I went to Squirrel Hill for social life with friends. I went to the library, Carnegie Library, and the museum were my backyard, and I walked Oakland. I went to Shenley High School, and I walked. This is a commentary, of course, on the change in our society. Neither I nor my parents had any concern about my safety. I had a great deal of freedom. I really did. But I had freedom within a structure, I would say,
mm-hmm,
of boundaries.
Yes. Your father liked you to be home at a certain time in the evenings.
It was nothing that had to be forcibly,
yes,
reiterated. My social life, really, as a teenager, did not really occur until I was in college. I was the editor-in-chief of the school newspaper, and I was deeply, deeply committed to that extracurricular activity, besides being valedictorian and all that other jazz.
Well, let's go back to your school days. right to the early days.
Right.
The first school you attended, homeschool. And memories.
Mm-hmm.
And then perhaps teachers that you feel may have mm-hmm. influenced you during mm-hmm. your lifetime.
Mm-hmm. I had a few.
Start with your early days at school.
You mean
elementary school? If you have memories you'd like to tell
us. Yes, indeed I do. It's interesting that I probably did not have, and I don't say this negatively or sadly, but I think rather objectively, I wasn't really a child in the traditional sense. Mm-hmm. Yes, I used to go to the school playground in the summer and play jacks and parcheesi and baseball, but that wasn't the norm of my life. And I think that's because I was so tremendously involved even then in these extracurricular activities in theater. There was the first Children's Civic Theater in Pittsburgh, established by the late Grace Price Katz. I don't know if anyone has alluded to this with you. Mm-hmm. She was a brilliant woman who understood civic theater. And Don Brockett was one of our stagehands when Grace Price Katz was putting on theater and shows. She used Carnegie Tech then. Actresses and actors, and I was one of the child stars.
Mm-hmm.
And so between school and...
What was the name of the elementary school?
Holmes.
Okay.
Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think even then I felt a little different from my contemporaries. It wasn't a conscious thing, and it didn't bother me. But I was aware of it, and I had a couple close friends. Certainly I did in high school. I had two very close girlfriends. We walked to school together, we walked from. They were bright, bright girls. Their lives took very different patterns from mine. And abruptly, our relationship was curtailed at the point of our college careers.
Mm-hmm.
One became quite ill. The other had other familial problems and could not pursue a college career, and I think the resentment married modestly. Our paths separated.
Did you enjoy high school?
Enormously. I adored it.
Did you have favorite subjects?
I had a fabulous teacher, Loretta Byrne, the late Loretta P. Byrne,
mm-hmm.
who was an English teacher and the advisor to the school newspaper, the Shenley Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, she's one of those who always said, don't let anybody call you Gertie. You're not Gertie from Toity Toit and Shirley. She was a wonderful example, role model, guide. Inspiration. I loved the work on the school paper. I scooped the city in interviewing Katharine Hepburn when she came to town. I interviewed Sir Martin Green. I interviewed John Gielgud. I had a lot of chutzpah, I guess, in those days. And somehow, walking home from school one day, or to school, I can't remember exactly, Katharine Hepburn sat on the patio of what is now the Pitt Student Union. It was then the Shenley Hotel. And I saw her, and I walked up the stairs and said, what can I say, Miss Hepburn, I'm so-and-so from the school newspaper, and I know you're here doing the, will you say a few words to me for our paper? She was in riding clothes, she was in joggers, she was exquisite, and she gave me some comments, answered a few questions. And the late Casper Monahan, does that name mean anything to you? He was the drama critic for the Pittsburgh Press for many years, but he well-beloved. His nickname was Cap, and Cap Monahan the next day said, young Gertrude Forman scooped the city in interviewing Katharine Hepburn. what fun.
English was your first love.
Oh,
did
absolutely.
Did you enjoy other subjects?
Yes, I was.
Were you an all-round
one of the
scholar?
Top math people. We now have a grandson who's a math, really a math genius. Algebra and geometry were delightful to me. I didn't have time for too many other activities because I was in plays, not only at school with the school newspaper, but at the Y Playhouse, actually.
Mm-hmm. that in fact your extracurricular activity did not interfere with your schooling because you were a good student.
Yes, I was the school valedictorian.
Did you enjoy sport at all? Did you play any sport?
I loved swimming. I had phys ed was volleyball and swimming. I didn't have too much time for them. It was always a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
But in college, my summer activities were on playgrounds. I did something called, well, there were civil service exams. It was a very plum of a job when you needed money. And usually, of course, I was in charge of the drama at these playgrounds. That's another kind of a situation.
So if you look back on your adolescent years.
Yes, it was not. I did not have time for sports. I was immersed in the school newspaper, going from reporter to managing editor to editor-in-chief.
High school.
Shenley mm-hmm. High School, Shenley Triangle. We came out once a week, and we came out with a very fine four-page issue. And there was a quality of excellence. We won many awards, locally and nationally. Albert Bloom, the former editor of the Chronicle, is a product of that school and that paper, and indeed was editor-in-chief. I was maybe the third woman editor in the history of the school. Even then, there were, you know, fewer times that girls achieved these things.
So you would say your adolescent years were fun?
Absolutely. Fun on a different level of fun. They weren't fun in sense of, I mean, it wasn't levity. It wasn't, time always had meaning to me. The use of time had significance.
But you had lots of friends.
Yes, I belonged to, yes, I did. I belonged, and we did a lot of partying. Mm-hmm. I didn't date too much individually. I did mm-hmm. some, but really not too much. I was so young.
Did you belong to any Jewish youth organizations in those days?
We belonged to the Y, but I did not do too much at the Y. I did not. I was very aware of council. I don't think councilettes existed when I was a teenager growing up. I was aware of council because of my mother's involvement in it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not belong to any organized Jewish youth organizations.
You were obviously blessed with good health.
Yes.
You were a vigorous
Yes, lady. Lots of energy. Yes.
Lots of energy.
Yes, yes.
You still have.
Thank you. Thank you, yes. Yes, I don't take it for granted as much anymore. Both my husband and I continue to put in enormous days and activity. He is still actively engaged in the practice of medicine. He's been doing it for over 50 years and as vibrant as ever. Excuse the touch of superstition. yeah, I always had the ability to push some more.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the cliche, ask a busy person. It isn't.
She always has time.
Yeah, yeah. It isn't difficult for me to say at the end of a day at which I've been to three meetings and done a few errands and maybe played some bridge and then gone out again at night.
I wish you could teach me how. you mentioned your husband. Tell us about your courtship.
Oh, are you serious?
Of course.
You want this?
If you'd like to tell us, we'd like to hear.
I'd be delighted. I'm amused at the...
Well, he's part of your life.
Very, very much. I had been dating an attorney. This was in my senior year in college, who was a friend of Paul's. Paul is my senior by 9 years and was through with his medical training. He had done his internship in Pittsburgh and gone on to Boston for his postgraduate resident work at Beth Israel in Boston, which is an adjunct of Harvard, and good training. And he had come back to Pittsburgh and had purchased his own office. I was in my first year of teaching at Allison Park, Hampton Township High School, when this friend of his, who, as I say, was an attorney whom I'd known for about a year, called and said, "What are you doing on a particular Sunday evening?" And I said, "I'm filling out report cards. I must give out 150 or 200 report cards tomorrow." Well, he said, Paul Kaplan called and suggested we come over and listen to classical music, you know, and then have a bite to eat. How about doing that? I said, I really can't. I'm much too busy. I have all this work, and I always had papers to grade. Oh, come on, you can do it, you can do it. My reputation preceded me. And call a friend of yours for Paul. Now, I peripherally had heard of Dr. Paul Kaplan, and I had seen him once, and he had looked like a very elegant, fine gentleman. So I called a friend of mine, interestingly enough, who had been in the same club as I for years through high school, but really rather the opposite of me. Brunette, quiet, I don't know, but lovely, a gracious, lovely lady who is still a friend. And I said, Ethel, are you free tonight? And she said, yes. And I told her why. And I said, this is not going to be a late night. I'm going to bring work with me, but we'll go to his apartment. We'll listen to classical music, which was a common date. And then we'll have something to eat. Fine. She joined us. We got to Paul's apartment, and he had been called out to a call. And he is a meticulous, meticulous gentleman, so he had come home and was changing. And I was spread out on his floor under a big torchiere with all my papers and books and report cards. And he rather amusingly says, he came out and he saw, and I was very much thinner, by the way. I shouldn't say weren't we all, you're both quite slender, but I did put on a good bit of weight since marriage. And he saw the crooked tooth and the skinny long legs, and we began to chat, and I confess we switched dates. I guess I talked as much then as I'm still talking. And he really was smitten, he says, right from the beginning. He began to ask me out for Saturday nights. He was a busy professional, so he wanted to go out Saturday night, and I really was going with another physician. And I was saving my Saturday nights for the other physician. But Paul persisted, and I would see him otherwise. Found him a delightful gentleman. December 7th, 1941, ignominious date, he was traveling to New York for a postgraduate course on rheumatology or whatever, and he wrote a card to me from New York that was, he writes exquisitely, it was just beautifully written, describing New York at this critical time in our lives, and saying, I'm writing from this restaurant. I hope that I have the pleasure of taking you here someday. And will you save such and such a date for me for the Bolshoi Ballet? Which was incidentally our first date on a Saturday night. And we both loved dance, never dreaming we'd have a daughter who was very much into dance. And we went indeed to the Bolshoi as our first date at the Syria Mosque. I remember it was Frederick Franklin, whom we subsequently met, with Alexandra Danilova doing Afternoon of a Faun. Oh, no, La Specta della Rose. Pardon me.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We began to date more regularly after that. We were engaged in June of 42. He was called to active duty. And was sent to Denver. I was teaching, as I told you, it was my first year of teaching, and then I was doing my summer work. And he became rather frantic, anticipating that he was going to be sent overseas very rapidly, and wanted to be married first. So my parents and his father and our siblings took a train to Denver, and we were married in Denver in August of 42.
Wonderful. Tell me about your husband, his family, his mother and father.
His mother was a Pittsburgher born and raised.
And her name?
Dora Friedman, F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N.
And
born and
father.
Raised in Pittsburgh. His father was Philip Kaplan, C-A-P-L-A-N, came here from Lithuania.
Mm-hmm. Was he a medical man as well?
No, he was a retailer. A very successful retailer in California, PA, little town. Paul was born in California, PA.
And are there siblings?
One younger brother who is an engineer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And does he live in Pittsburgh?
Lives in Pittsburgh, now? Joseph Kaplan.
Mm-hmm. So?
Small families.
You married?
in August of 42.
Decided to have a family.
Well, Paul went overseas for three. We were involved with the war for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. We lived in Denver. We were grateful. We had 20 months in Denver. I taught high school there.
Before he was sent overseas.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. He went overseas in February, March of 44, and I came back to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And went back to teaching Heron Hill Junior High School and Peabody High School.
And how long was he away?
He was overseas a year. Came back just before VE Day in 45.
Must have been difficult for you.
You know, I think so many of us accepted this was a war that had to be fought. This was, there is such a thing, a good war. And it was painful, and it was anxiety, and it was trauma. But it was not the kind of, I'm sensitive to your body.